The Greek crisis adds a Russian twist. From APM in New York, I'm Mark Garrison, in for David Brancaccio. European finance ministers are meeting today. The topic, of course, is what to do about the mess in Greece. BBC economics correspondent Andrew Walker joins us with the latest. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, Mark.
So what kind of real movement, if any, can we expect to see coming out of this meeting?
Very little, I think. European officials have already flagged the idea that an agreement at this stage is not really very likely. We've had a number of voices suggesting that we've got to the stage where really leaders need to be involved, that the kind of political stakes are sufficiently high, that it's perhaps a bit too much to expect finance ministers to give the ground necessary. The idea that they're going to be ready to sign anything on the dotted line by the end of this meeting in Luxembourg doesn't seem very probable at all.
So that's the meeting of finance ministers. Now, Greece's prime minister, on the other hand, is in Russia today, and there's all the speculation that Greece is angling for Russian loans. What's going on there with that meeting?
Financially, they're not in the greatest of shape to provide
yes.
large-scale financial support to Greece, it must be said. But I think there is a wider political unease in the rest of the European Union about the idea that Greece might end up getting uncomfortably close to some non-EU powers like Russia and China. So it may well be that one of the ideas in Mr. Tsipras's mind is that by being publicly seen in Russia, he will reinforce that concern. And perhaps he might be hoping just encourage European leaders to be a little bit more ready to give some ground.
Andrew Walker with the BBC. Thanks very much.
My pleasure, Mark.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks down in global trading, shares lower in Europe, where traders are looking at that meeting and watching to see what we were just talking about. Asian markets closed down, with stocks in China down 3.7%. Wall Street futures pointing to a higher opening later this morning. If you're having eggs for breakfast this morning, you likely paid more than usual. Bird flu is brutalizing egg producers, which means higher prices for us. But surprisingly, chicken prices are going down. Farms that raise chickens for meat have so far largely escaped bird flu. Marketplace's Annie Baxter reports on a story with implications for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
It's still not clear why farms that raise the chickens we eat have mostly dodged the avian flu. Alex Melton, a poultry economist with the USDA, says it might have to do with the farm's biosecurity measures, or
it may very well just be dumb luck.
Melton says chicken production is actually up, but producers face lower demand abroad. A number of countries are spooked about avian flu and are limiting imports of U.S. poultry products. China and South Korea have enacted total bans.
Supplies go up when that happens and price comes down.
Bruce Babcock is an ag economist at Iowa State University. He says wholesale buyers, like grocery store chains, see chicken prices drop first, and they usually wait to change prices for consumers so that prices don't bounce around too much. But he expects the declines will eventually trickle down.
I bet we'll see some reduction in the retail price of chicken here in the next 6 months.
Babcock says that could steer more consumers to chicken and away from pricier meats like beef. I'm Annie Baxter for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is listener-supported. To keep our coverage relevant and compelling, please make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today. Your gift in any amount counts twice, thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from Newman's Own Foundation. Help us keep you up to date and well-informed wherever you are. Donate at marketplace.org by June 30th.
There's a good chance you're listening on the way to work or getting ready for that daily commute. Many folks with jobs in pricey real estate markets have agonizingly long commutes. One such place is Marin County, a hyper-rich area north of San Francisco. Things get tricky when a community is so expensive that most of its workers can't afford to live there. Chrissy Clark from the Marketplace Wealth and Poverty Desk looks at why this happens and what the consequences are.
Philip Thomas is a communications technician for the County of Marin. His department maintains things like jail security cameras and radio equipment for fire departments. I met him at 7 a.m. on a foggy morning recently, just as he was pulling into work.
Good morning.
He said it was a good morning, commute-wise.
It was exactly 55 minutes this morning, so I was pleased about that.
Which might sound strange, considering 55 minutes is twice the national average for a one-way commute, but Thomas's trips can sometimes take even longer, up to 80 or 90 minutes. Thomas lives in the city of Vallejo. He says he'd love to live closer to his job, but when he's looked for homes in Marin,
the housing prices are just too high.
And Thomas makes pretty good money, more than $80,000 a year. But in Marin, where the median home price is $800,000, he wouldn't qualify for most home loans. So he drives in from somewhere else, just like most of his coworkers.
Where do you commute from?
East Bay,
Petaluma,
Richmond.
Every person I talked to but one told me they commute from another county where housing's more affordable. Depending on which census survey you look at, somewhere between 40 and 60% of the workforce in Marin commutes in from somewhere else. For Thomas and workers like him, that often means,
of course, more time on the road. But most of all, it's just a few hours out of the day that I don't get to spend with my family. I like my family.
But beyond those personal costs, it might also have costs for the community that Thomas and tens of thousands of workers like him drive to each day to serve.
You've got people that are making absolutely critical contributions to the life and the quality of life for individuals and families in Marin.
Thomas Peters is president of the Marin Community Foundation, which funds and advocates for more affordable housing in the county. He says he thinks places like Marin can benefit from having more of the preschool teachers, the nurses, the MRI technicians that work in the county live and raise their families there, too.
You know, it's true at a cellular level and it's true at a social level. There's a real payoff for diversity.
On a more practical level, Peter says you don't want workers who live outside the county to get so fed up with their commutes that they say,
I will be looking for another job.
Which is what Thomas Phillips, the guy who makes sure the fire department's radios are working right, says he's this close to doing. That is, if his commute from the more affordable place where he lives gets any worse. I'm Chrissy Clark for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm Mark Garrison with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.